morning, church. Can I get the gray microphone set up for this young man? He's going to do a scripture reading for us today.
For all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. Gladys 3:27 and 28.
All right, thank you. Now, I want you guys to take a good look at that young man. You want to know what a sharp-dressing young man looks like? That's it right there. Got the tie, looking good. You know, I often wonder for people, how much time do you spend getting ready to come to church, like working on your hair? Obviously, you can tell with me, I don't spend a lot of time. I jump out of bed, throw my clothes on, bada bing, I'm here. But it's a natural thing, and it's something that, especially in the church and in the culture of the church, that you dress up to come to church. It had been a traditional kind of mentality that you offer God your very best, and part of offering God your very best is to actually take the time and to make sure that you are dressed nicely. And, you know, as people, we have a tendency to follow that pattern, don't we? When we're walking down the street and we see someone in nice, clean clothes and they're dressed nicely, we just get these strange assumptions in our head that this person must be a respectable person. This person must be someone that I could trust, someone that is reliable, someone that is worthy of being talked to. But what about, like we heard in our song here, what about when people are different? You know, what about when they are full of piercings and tattoos? What about when their clothes are a little dirty? What about when they smell a little funny? What is it about us and our human nature that makes us go, that person is less trustworthy? And I was watching a YouTube video, and I would show it here, but some of the language and stuff that people used would be offensive. But this gentleman decided to dress up as a homeless man. And he held up a sign that said, "No one ever went broke giving to others." And these people would come up and go, "Oh, sorry, man, I don't have any money." He goes, "That's okay, I have a 10. Why don't you let me bless you today?" And they would cuss him out. I was dumbfounded. One gentleman even said, you want to give me money? I could buy 3 of you. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? And yet, in our human nature, this is what people have a tendency to do. They have a tendency to look and say, if somebody is wealthy, if somebody has nice clothes, if somebody is dressed well, that somehow those people are more reliable, that they're a better person. For us as believers, this can't be the way we are. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" You know, the fact of the matter is there's nothing wrong with having nice clothes, is there? If you can afford a nice suit, there's nothing wrong with wearing a nice suit. But when we start to feel superior, when we start looking around and saying, "I'm somehow better, I'm somehow more blessed because I have nice clothes and somebody else doesn't," we're missing the whole point of who God wants us to be. Who he wants us to be as his believers. Because as we heard in the song, God judges based on the heart. You know, when Samuel was sent by God to go appoint the new king to replace Saul, he was sent to Jesse. He wasn't told who that person would be. He was simply sent. And as Samuel was looking at David's brother, he started thinking to himself, wow, this guy's a warrior. He's big, he's strong, he's handsome, he looks like he'd make a good leader. And this is what God said to Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, this is 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God didn't see in David's brother a mighty warrior. He saw someone who didn't have as much heart and conviction for him as David did. When he looked at David, maybe he was just a ruddy little kid at the time, but you know what? He had a heart for the Lord. And he would falter, he would fail, but throughout his entire life, David would never turn away from God. No matter what the mistakes were, no matter what the choices, he always returned to the Lord and let the Lord be his strength. The outward appearance is something that is natural for people to focus on. We say things like, the clothes make the man, right? Clothes make the man, or that guy's dressed for success. But when it comes to our dress, where is the priority to God? In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, and do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in the darkness, or not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the flesh. See, there's so many people in our world today who are pursuing stuff, things, big boats, jet skis. They're pursuing that nice big house, the fancy cars. They want all of those things. And Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us, that we should clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are people who sit in church every Sunday. They come, they wear nice clothes, they're very polite, friendly, shake your hand, smile. They put their money in to the collection plate or a box or whatever is available. They sing the songs, they listen to the sermons, and then they just go back to the world. They become materialistic. They become focused on what they can get out of life, what they can take, what they can grab. And the Apostle Paul is telling us these things are fading away. The day of the Lord's coming is closer than it was before. Walk in the light. Be different. Don't look like your culture. Don't be so consumed with things that you miss the point of who God is calling you to be. In Colossians 3, verses 5 through 12, the Apostle Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of your Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God has chosen as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, when we clothe ourselves in Christ, we become different people. We don't look like our culture anymore because we are growing into the image of our Creator. I want you to really think about that. You, as a believer, are growing into the image of your Creator. And what does He say that looks like? Looks like being compassionate. Do we really care about other people's problems? Are we the type of people, you know, I had an interesting conversation at work, and it was kind of a joking nature, but people around were like, yeah, I don't really care about people's personal life. Yeah, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Oh, struggling at home. I don't care. And it was kind of a joking nature because they're like, well, it's not part of my job description. But see, as believers, as compassionate believers, we have to care about other people's lives. We have to care about other people's hurts. Do you think that it didn't hurt God to send His Son? Do you think it doesn't hurt God? It didn't hurt God to have to punish Adam and Eve for making the choices that they made. God is a compassionate God. He cares about you. He was willing to give Adam and Eve the chance to continue to live a life, even though He knew they would die. He was willing to allow Cain to continue to live, even though he slaughtered his brother Abel. God is a compassionate God. He cares about us. He wants good for us. And if we are the image of our Creator, then we have to be compassionate people. We have to genuinely care about the pains and the struggles of those around us. We must be kind. Now, that's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? As tempers start to flare, you feel like you got to say what you're thinking. You know, I have an unfortunate tendency of being blunt sometimes, especially when I'm tired. I just say what I mean. And sometimes those things don't come out as kind. It's not stopping to think about, how is this person going to hear what I have to say? Are they going to understand that the things that I'm saying are for their benefit? Are they going to understand that I'm saying this because I care? I want them to have a better opportunity. And if I can't be kind with that, I'm letting them down. I'm failing them. Being humble. Brothers and sisters, if there's one thing that Jesus Christ was, it was humble. He was the Son of God. He walked among us and He taught us gently. Jesus, above anybody else, and I think we've all met those self-righteous people who have that attitude like, I know everything. Come to me. I have all the answers. Oh, you didn't come to me? That's why you made the wrong decision, because I know everything. I am perfect in this job, every aspect of it. I know up and down, top to bottom. I could have told you how to manage this company. If you'd have just listened to me, I could have fixed all your problems for you. And I'm sure we've all met those people or had to work with those people. And if anybody had the right to do that, it was Jesus. If anybody had the right to come down and go, silly people, I got this, it would have been Jesus. But how did Jesus approach things? With kindness, with humility. He was being antagonized by the woman at the well. Antagonized. And He was still gentle with her. He still walked her along compassionately. Humility is a big part of our faith. None of us have all the answers. And when we get to the point where we start thinking we know more than everybody else, when we start thinking we've got it all figured out, I don't have to listen to anybody anymore, I don't have to study anymore, we've failed. Humility, understanding that we don't have all the answers, but being willing to learn and to grow is a part of being in the image of our Creator. Gentleness. Being gentle with each other. Man, I've seen so much destruction in churches because of harshness, because people just tell them straight up, you're sinning and you need to fix it. Get your life together or don't come back. I grew up around that stuff, and it breaks my heart because there are people who walked away from the Lord when all they needed was some gentle instruction, somebody coming alongside them and saying, look, man, you're in a rough spot. How can we help? How can we help you to grow in your faith? How can we help you to find strength in the Lord? We must be gentle with each other and patient. Patient. Do we get frustrated when people don't do the things we want them to do? We get a little irritated, don't we? We kind of want people, especially like when it comes to spiritual things, like hurry up and grow. Hurry up and grow. But God is working at His own pace. God is growing people to where they need to be in His time. We have to be patient. We have to be patient with our friends and our family and our neighbors as they come to know the Lord. We can't just expect them to, oh, well, Jesus has been around all this time. I didn't know. Oh, well, thanks. Now life's good. No, it's a process. They grow in it. And so we have to be patient with those who are in our lives and who we're trying to help. Clothing ourselves in Christ is the only way that these things happen, because it is when we clothe ourselves in Christ that the Spirit comes upon us and we are able to grow in these areas. When we clothe ourselves in Christ, we receive great blessing. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Now I want to point something out here, because I think this is an important aspect when we are looking at baptism. I've heard all my life that baptism is a work, and that baptism can't possibly be a part of salvation because it's a work, and we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet when you read this passage here, it says you are all children of God through faith for. For means because. Because all of you were clothed in Christ in baptism. Baptism is where we clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus. It is where we become a part of His body. And becoming part of Christ, being clothed in Christ, makes us heirs to His promise. Well, what is that promise? In Genesis 13, it says the promise He made to Abraham. In Genesis 13, verses 14 through 17, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, look around where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. Now, as we look at this promise was that through the spiritual seed that God would plant, that you and I get to be a part of the children of Israel, that we are of the seed of Abraham and entitled to the promises. And he promised, God promised his children a land. He promised them a place where they would be free for all eternity. And we see in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, where that promised land would be. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" See, God has promised the seed of Abraham his holy land, his new Jerusalem. And that is our home in heaven for all eternity. Blessed and with the Lord, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrows, no more struggles. We will be with him for all of eternity. See, being clothed in Christ is a very important thing because it is what puts us in a right relationship with God. See, when we're clothed with Christ, when Satan, the accuser, starts stepping down and going, "Oh, God, look at Jonathan. He messed up again. That temper got the best of him. Oh, look at Jonathan. He's being too blunt with people again. Look at Jonathan. He's getting angry with people while he's driving in the car." God is looking and going, "Oh, Satan, I don't see what you see. I see my son. I see Jesus Christ. Clothed in Jesus Christ, we are kept safe." Today is the day of your salvation. If you have not committed your life to the Lord, if you have not been baptized, dying to yourself, being buried with him in that watery grave, to rise anew, a new creation, a new life, clothed in Christ, today is the day. Don't hesitate. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God wants all of us with him in eternity, and he's taking his time in coming back. He could have rushed back if he wanted to, but he wants every soul here to be saved. He wants every soul in Aurora to be saved. He wants every soul in America to be saved. He wants every soul throughout our entire world to be saved. And we have to embrace Jesus as our Savior. We have to be willing to die with him, to be buried with him, and to raise again anew. If you are here today and haven't made that choice, please, we've got a baptistry back here. We'll get it done, okay? We're not waiting on anything. If you want to come to the Lord, today is that appointed day. Or if you are a believer and you're thinking to yourself, "I don't see these characteristics developing in me. I don't see the compassion. I don't see the kindness. I don't see the humility, the gentleness." We want to pray with you. We want to talk with you. We want to give you the opportunity to grow in the Lord. Whatever your needs are, we want you to think about that during these songs of reflection. I'll be right out back here if you need prayers or if you need anything. Just let us know.